Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to share with you two of my passions, genealogy and teaching epidemiology. The picture here is a scan of a painting of Anna Maria Orleans, and throughout this process I actually found out that she is my seventh grandmother. It was completely shocking, seeing that the family that's related to her was, according to my father, his grandfather was the poorest man he'd ever met, very humble, and then find out they have royal background was pretty surprising. I've been teaching epidemiology for a few decades and find that many students have difficulty with the abstract concepts, and they have a passion for public health, but they have difficulty with the numbers. So I use this approach because of my interest in genealogy, putting faces on some of the statistics in epidemiology and having them understand some of the ramifications. So I'm calling this an extended family case study because the family tree that I have has 4,000 people in it. So I analyzed the infant mortality under 5, maternal mortality, looked at total lifespan among all of my ancestors, not all of my ancestors, but the ones on my father's side, who all immigrated from a very small village in Calabria called Pianicrati. I was able to then compare different centuries and those who immigrated to the United States or Canada and those who stayed behind. And I have no relationship to disclose except for the obvious relationships, but no financial. So I'm limiting this to those who have a tie to Pianicrati, which is the smallest village in Calabria. It's about 500 acres. They were opposed to Italian unification under Garibaldi, therefore they became kind of enemies of the state at the time, which is 1860 or so. There were economic sanctions against them. They were starving. The mortality rates that I saw at this time were astounding to me. People dying in their very early life, 15, 20s, dying from starvation. I began this kind of looking at my family in Chicago. This is a picture of, it's very tiny, in the Taylor Street community in Chicago, which is now called Little Italy, seeing pictures of what I can only be described as a slum and trying to figure out why would they come to the U.S. and live in such dire poverty. And the answer is they were escaping even worse poverty. I use Ancestry.com. The study of genealogy it's been facilitated by the internet. I began this in 1981 when I became a mother for the first time, which sparked the interest. And at that time, it was very difficult. I had to write letters, have them translated into Italian, send them off, look for records, wait for months for records to come back. In the early 90s, or mid-90s, when the internet began, people began using it widely, I got one email and got like 3 generations at a time or 13 generations in one. So it's really very easy to find your roots if there are records. And this is kind of what it looks like. This is my father and then his mother and father. And everyone in this, from here back, is from Pianicrati. So the data sources began as oral history from everything that my paternal grandmother could remember to this database that includes immigration records, vital stats in Italy and the U.S., military records, burial records. So it's really been validated. We're at about 21,000 what they call hints, which include ties to other people's family trees and records. So the sample in this case is 2,095. And I created a database using Excel, including these variables. Most of them are self-explanatory. Country of birth, I put Italy, even though they weren't born in Italy. They were born in the Kingdom of Two Sicilies or the Kingdom of Naples before unification. But for simplicity, I'll call it Italy, even though I'm sure my grandfather is scoffing at me from his grave. And I also used immigration, yes and no, and then no, but their parents immigrated, no, but their grandparents immigrated, to try to compare. The database looks something like this, and there are quite a few missing. In looking at maternal mortality, I made the following assumptions: that the women who died between the age of 15 and 55 might have died from maternal mortality, and there I looked more closely into their records. Those that died before 15 and after 55, I can automatically exclude it. So there may be some missing. The records, as the birth year goes down, as you go farther back in history, the records are much, much less complete. Unfortunately, these records don't often have a cause of death. But I was able to look at the dates of death along with childbirth to determine the maternal mortality. So I believe it's an underestimate. In this sample, I identified absolutely 10 women who died in childbirth. Most of them in the 1800s, but the most recent in 1930. This is what the record looks like. This is my great-grandmother. And an interesting thing I thought about my family tree is that there are a lot of last names. So these are the records of some of the last names. Those of you who know Romance languages, I think it's kind of funny that I'm related to a group of people called both the Infelices and the Felices. If you don't know Romance languages, there's the happy group and the unhappy. And one of my most notorious relatives was an Infelice. Look him up. The given names are quite a lot fewer. In the Italian families, we name people after each other, so there are so many Francescos, and then his son Francesco, and the other Francesco, and the nephew Francesco. So we have many more last names, very fewer first names. This happens to be a picture of my grandparents on their wedding. So as far as looking at average years of life across the centuries, I found a dip in the 1800s, which corresponds with two major events. One was an earthquake in 1848, high mortality, and the other was the unification of Italy. This also corresponds with those timings. The earthquake, we had very high infant mortality at that time, corresponding with high under 5 mortality, and then again during the unification, and dramatically goes down. I use this as a teaching tool to show students about how history and historical events affect mortality. As I said, I found 10 maternal deaths. They ranged in age from 18, which is Mary, I just forgot her last name, person. Carbone, Mary Carbone, died at 18 in 1934 and up to 40. You can tell the woman who died at 40 was in her seventh childbirth. An example of a maternal death in this sample is Maria Teresa Mazzucca, who was married at age 25, very typically like the rest of the women in the entire sample, had their first baby within 1 or 2 years. She died during her first childbirth at age 27. Her baby also died, but 6 months later. So maternal mortality is not just about the woman dying in her prime, but also has ramifications for the family. I use these two symbols in my tree to designate people who died giving birth and infant death. Now another example is Teresa Tosto, who didn't die in childbirth. She's not counted as maternal mortality by the given definition that we have, but she was married at 17, had her first baby at 18, had 10 children, and died 7 months after her 10th childbirth. So she doesn't fit the definition of maternal mortality, but it's a tragedy, and it's certainly related to 10 childbirths. This is Maria Teresa's record. You see all of her babies, and only 6 of them live to be adults. So this comparison, looking at those who immigrated and those who didn't, I found very interesting, but somewhat spurious, because you look at that and say, average years of life for those who did not immigrate was 19, and those who immigrated was 75. So it's a starting point for discussion with students. Well, why would this be? And there's some obvious answers to this. If you die when you're one, there's no chance that you'll ever immigrate anywhere, and the childhood death. So I'm not sure what the answers, looking at comparisons, that would be really talking about the health status of immigrants. And I think that this is something that will be seen in other immigrants as well. We have a phenomenon called the Hispanic paradox. Yes, thank you. I like this to be interactive because I've only had about 4 hours of sleep. And perhaps we look at, you know, the healthy immigrants, or does it have some relationship with whether you have the ability to ever immigrate if you don't live very long? But I do think that the immigrants had a higher health status. This is a picture of my father's 3 brothers. The little one here, Peter, died in the flu epidemic of 1918. So I like to show faces for students to see what the epidemic really means, you know, actual heartache, and people with stories that died. So I like to conclude by saying that we can put faces onto statistics, and it makes students understand more the tragedies. So instead of wiping the tears off the statistics, we kind of put the tears and the faces back on. Thank you. I apologize for being a little out of it today.